Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McDew on What Would Father Say with Father John Gesualdo. Thanks, Father, for joining us.
No, my pleasure, my pleasure.
And happy Friday, everybody. So we're going to take a little bit of a change in our progress through the 10th commandments. We finished up sixth commandment last week. And if you've missed any or all of the episodes and you want to go back and check them out, go back to our website, Armor of God Radio. .com, and there you can find under the schedule tab where all the podcasts are listed for all of our local programs, but especially for What Would Father Say. So this week we're going to celebrate Habemus Papam.
Yeah,
We have a
Habemus
Pope.
Papam, Pope Leo the 14th.
It's an
All right.
exciting time for the American Catholic
It
Church.
is. It's quite shocking. So I don't
So
know
let's
about
start
you.
with what was your initial reaction?
Yes. So we were about to go say mass with my staff. We were setting up and somebody said, Habemus Papam, Habemus Papam. And then as we're setting up, somebody comes running in and says, so already there's a new Pope? Okay. And then someone says, he's an American. Immediately I was OMG. And I was thinking of all the cardinals in our country and going, OMG,
Yeah.
we have some
Bad ones.
cardinals that are, okay, I guess, and some that are problematic. Who's kidding who? And I couldn't imagine who they would have picked. But then when they came out, and this is quite the story, when it hits American cardinal. And then they said it's Pope Leo, but I still didn't know what his name was. And then we looked to what provost? And my whole staff goes, who's that? We never heard of him. What's he the cardinal? Well, he's not a cardinal in this country, which is pretty smart. He was from here, but he was the head of the Castry of Bishops, which gives us a little insight on why they voted for him, I think. Because
Okay.
even though we didn't know him, they did.
Yeah,
He
sure.
was in charge of that office that appoints, that, well, recommends men to be bishops. So they all knew who he was. And so say something personal here? As soon as I
Go.
found out he was from the United States, he was from Chicago, and immediately my phone blew up, said the new Pope looks like you. Even my own family said, he looks like you. And oh my gosh, it hasn't stopped since. And I at mass, I told everybody, I said, yes, let's just talk about the elephant that's in the room. I understand that I look like Pope Leo, and I will admit the Holy Father is quite handsome. I'll go ahead and admit that. But what it so in the past, what how long has he been Pope? Not quite a week. Was it
Well,
Thursday? It's a week.
yeah, a
It's
week
a week
today.
now, a
Yeah.
week today, yeah. Right about now, actually. About 11:30 it happened our time. I think we ought to, as much things we can say. First of all, having an American Pope is really a once in a lifetime thing, and actually it's once in a lifetime of the church. For many things it's shocking because especially after World War I and World War II, when the United States became the superpower, there was always the talk, even though we only had 10 or 11 cardinals, that they would never become pope because that would cause a ripple within, ecclesiastical and political if the most powerful country is also the pope is from that country. So that
Right.
don't look good. It didn't look good. It was just not, we're not going to get that. It's not going to happen. And I would even say for me and if we live another 50, 60 years, I doubt it. This may be the last pope in our lifetime. I don't know. But 100 years from now, 200 years from now, Americans will say, once we had an American pope, it may be 1,000 years before this ever happens again.
Wow.
Having said that, it's fair to say that even though he's a Chicagoan, his heart is not here. I think his heart is in Peru.
Peru, yeah.
Because he became an Augustinian, and then he went off to university with the Augustines at Villanova. I think that's an Augustinian college. And he didn't get a degree in theology. He got a degree in mathematics, which makes him a nerd. So,
It's funny to listen to all these Chicago suburbs that are trying to claim him. Oh yeah,
Yes.
he once ate at our restaurant, and
Yeah.
yeah,
He's from southern part. I'm from the northern part.
okay.
Well, that's all the Cub fans are.
Yeah.
And the southern part is all Sox fan. And the south side of Chicago's tend to be the rougher part, more poor part, more blue collar. So he evidently he was a Sox fan. And
See, I think
he
that's there's some potential misinformation, you know,
Oh
because
yeah.
there's been people saying, "Oh, he's a Cubs fan," and
No, he's not.
there's people saying, "Oh, yeah, he's a Sox fan." I don't think he's actually a baseball fan at all.
Well, they have pictures of him. They found pictures of him in the stands
Yeah,
at
okay.
Sox games. But someone told me, he goes, he's not gonna be able to go anymore Sox
Yeah.
games. Those days, and he was dressed in regular clothes.
Oh.
But no one would have known him anyway because he, as soon as he was ordained or entered the Augustinians, he got sent on mission, I think, to Peru.
Yeah. He's been in Peru
And
for like the last, what, 20? Well,
20
not
some odd,
the
30 years, something
he's
like that.
been
He
in he's
was
been
in,
in Rome the last 5 or 6 years, but he was
yeah,
in Peru for like 25 so years.
dozens of years. And so he was a
Yeah.
pastor there. Then he became like, he would teach. Well, he got his, well, he went back to Rome a couple times. He got his licentiate in canon law and doctorate. So not only is he a mathematician, but he's a canon lawyer, which makes him even more of a
Bigger
nerd.
nerd.
A book guy. Anyway, and he taught canon law. But I think what happened, he went back as a pastor to Peru. And I have my, I guess we just look on Wikipedia. He became the bishop of Chigayo. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a bishop, and he got citizenship. So he was able to keep his dual citizenship. And so in many ways, Peruvians are saying, no, he's ours.
Yeah.
He's one of
Rightfully
ours. He was
so.
our
Yeah.
bishop. So he was there for at least half. I mean, he spent just as much time in Chicago as he did in Peru.
Right. And arguably more of his foundational training and studies occurred in Peru versus the United States.
So I think that's ingenious because it's fair to say that his heart is still in Peru, which lets the people of which lets the now the people of Rome, he's the Bishop of Rome, that he's not a total American in the same sense that he's wishing he was at home. He's a man of the world. He's been in Rome for several years now. His Italian and Spanish are impeccable.
Yeah. That
And
amazed
so
me when his first speech there from the balcony, and he was able to break off perfect Spanish and Latin and Italian,
oh yeah.
just, I mean, one right after the other, and it's like, wow.
And yeah, because he's their bishop now. And I think he was ingenious too, because the blogosphere is full of people that I'm
Yeah.
not sure that they're healthy. He's only been a pope for a week. Come on.
Yeah.
But the fact that he didn't mention us, I think, was genius. Don't just bring up right away, hey, I'm an American and I'm here. No, because they already think we're loud and obnoxious and know everything and overbearing. I mean, you go to Europe, immediately you can hear the Americans because they're loud.
Yeah.
I was listening to a lady who lived, she's American, she lived in Japan. She goes, yeah, you always know Americans because they're laughing, they're loud and obnoxious, because Japanese are quiet and reserved. So he didn't throw that in their face at
Yeah.
all, which was ingenious, and he started in Italian. But what is bizarre for us, well, I think what we have to look forward to as Americans and English-speaking church, was to hear a pope speak English with no accent. We have 2,000 years,
Yeah,
we haven't
that's
heard
interesting.
that.
Yeah. I hadn't thought
He
about
started
that.
his first mass. Hey guys, thanks for coming. It's good to be here. You've given me this cross. Who? What? A pope speaking American English
English.
with a Chicago accent. How you doing? Thanks for coming. That is, who saw that coming, Tom?
Not me.
Would you have given it a million of one shot?
No.
Because we all had Tango, we all had the Africans,
Yeah,
we
yeah.
had a couple of Italians, some pizza bella. We were already
Yeah.
trying to What are they going to call them? Pizza Bella.
Yeah.
And then can you just see the Cardinals going, hey, we're going to show them.
Yeah.
We're not.
I thought it was incredible though. We in the in those that 36 to 48 hours, you know,
Yeah.
when the conclave was meeting and the all of these people, the so-called pundits and smart people are like, oh, it's going to be Cardinal so and so, and it's going to be this guy
Tango.
from Africa, and it's going to be this guy from Italy,
Yeah.
and
One.
I don't think that Cardinal Provost or Prevost, excuse me, I don't think he was on anybody's charts
No, he
as
was
a
on nobody's
favorite.
list, and Vegas gave him a 1% chance of winning.
Wow.
So if you would have bet $1,000 on him, you'd be crawling in cash.
Right.
Because I don't know if you know this, Vegas puts out bets. You
Oh,
can bet on. Yeah,
yeah.
they gave him a 1% chance, and what's also kind of a neat story is a Cardinal of Newark. He's kind of a strange guy. What's his name?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, he's the Cardinal in Newark. Anyway, he kind of spilled the beans. They're not supposed to talk about who the discussions or even the votes. Who voted for who. But he did say, it's Tobin, Cardinal Tobin.
Oh, that's
He
right.
said when they were counting out the votes, provost, that provost had his hands on his face going, no, 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 just what? What? Then he was free. He had a breakdown almost
Wow.
because he wasn't on his list. He was like, there's no way. Even his brothers were like, his brothers had called him and said, hey, let us know. You'll be fine. And no idea that he had a chance in
Wow.
hell of getting it. But I'm excited because what I was trying to say before, if he visits us, and I think he will be the first time that an English-speaking pope, because I went to two World Youth Days. 2016 was Pope Benedict. Love Pope Benedict. But he spoke English to us, and his
Heavy
English, I
German
got like
accent.
in the name of the Father and of the Son, And he read his homily, and I got like 10% of it. Fast forward, 2016, I go, and it's Pope Francis, and he didn't preach at all in English. He's preaching in Italian. So this was in Australia. No, this was in Poland. And so we had to listen to the translation on our radios. But to hear a pope speak English is such a lightning in a bottle. Only happens once in the church's lifetime. And we happen to be here, and it's exciting to be here. I think it's going to be amazing. And I also think I'm looking forward, Scott Hahn said this, I'm looking forward to a quiet papacy, a more
Amen.
clear,
Amen.
more disciplined.
Yeah. I wanna peel that onion a little bit, if you
Okay.
don't mind. But folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Tom McNew with Father John Gozaldo here on this edition of What Would Father Say? And again, we're taking a little bit of a break from our catechetical discussion on the Ten Commandments to get Father John's perspective and his reaction on our new Pope, Leo the 14th. And that's for those of you that are not astute with Roman numerology, that's XIV, not XVIII, as you may have seen on some of the mainstream media
I have not
markers.
seen that.
Oh my gosh, that's they've been absolutely horrible. It was
They don't know the Roman numerals.
it was 16, and then it was and then somebody had put and I won't name the markets because they're all ridiculous, but one of them had put had reversed the I and the V and made him 16th. One of them had reversed the X and the V,
Yeah, that's
which,
bad.
yeah. So
That's
it's like,
bad.
okay, come on,
It's
you like
51, isn't that? So 40 for something like that, yeah.
41st. Anyway. So if you missed the first part of this, you can always go back and listen to it on Sunday afternoon at 12:30 here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. And you'd like to listen to any of the other previous episodes, they're all available on our website at armorofgodradio.com. So, Father, I want to get kind of go back just a little bit here. It seemed to me, and maybe this is just my perspective, but it seemed to me the amount of time between the white smoke and his appearance on the balcony and any information about him specifically, it seemed to take a long time.
So, have you heard what that was about?
No.
So here's the rumor, but there's a couple of the cardinals are saying this. You know, as soon as you're elected, you accept, and
Right.
then they have to make your vestment. So that takes some time anyway. But you go sit in the room of tears. You know, you go in there and pray and kind of mourn the loss of your life. It's a life sentence. You change your name, you can't change it back.
Right.
You wear the white, even if you retired like Pope Benedict, that your life is never the same. You can't go and, you know, most cardinals like Pope Benedict wanted to retire and go teach in Germany. He wanted to be a professor again, but JP2 wouldn't let him do that. Anyway, evidently, Leo went into that room for 45 minutes to an hour
Wow.
and was just bawling his head off. And when he came out on that balcony, he looked emotional.
Yeah,
He's
absolutely.
from the you know side from his profile. You're like, how did this happen? This was not supposed to happen. I don't know if I want this. You know, and you know, they said Tobin said he had his eyes on his face the whole time. You could just imagine his heart pumping, ba-boom, ba-boom. And he had tried to call his brothers a few times, and they didn't answer. Partly because they were being inundated by the media. I don't know if you
Yeah.
saw that scene from his old, he has
Yeah.
two older brothers, and they both live in Chicago, I think I said
Right,
still.
right.
Yeah. And he looked on his pad and he goes, oh my gosh, he's called me twice. And so he called the Pope back and he answered. And I did you see this? And the news people were there. And he said, Robert, I don't know if you want to talk now, but the news media is here. And Pope Leo says to his brother, how come you don't answer your phone? He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. We've had these news people here. Do you want them filming? So just to hear the normal family and the shock to his family, because he has nieces and nephews, evidently.
Sure.
And they're screaming. And their lives will never be the same anymore
No,
either,
no.
especially because they're Americans. They can't hide. Is your uncle the Pope?
Yeah, he is.
And so, yeah, it affects the
It's.
ripple effect will be enormous here in the United States, and
I think it's going to be interesting to see, the kind of the long term effect. Well, our culture tends to, after about 24 to 48 hours, tends to forget. And it starts looking for the next big thing, the next big event.
controversy, something to
Yeah,
talk
yeah.
about. Yeah.
Right. But I think this is going to be different, strictly because he is American, and the church is so excited about the opportunity that we have here with him. But
I think also because he's a nerd, but go ahead.
no, that's what I was going to say. His background, really, I think, and he had been the dicastery for bishops for
Yeah.
like 5 or 6 years. Is that right? Before
And he was
some.
made cardinal only in 23.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's only been 2 years.
Okay. But
So I
his
don't know how long
back.
he's been in that dicastery, though.
Yeah. But his background and his role as a canon lawyer really kind of sets him up to be, I'm using air quotes, a different kind of pope.
Yeah. More
Your thought.
reserved, more calculating, thoughtful, maybe more precise. Hopefully not, you know, speaking on airplanes, answering off the cuff, you know, signing things, you know, that he doesn't know what he's signing sometimes, you know, Pope Francis, people he surrounded himself with. So yeah, we will It's kind of neat because we're getting a better, clearer idea what Pope Francis was for the church. And then each day we get to know this new pope a little better. And so far it's been really refreshing. You want a guy who doesn't want to be pope. That's what you want. You want that, first of all. Having an American is beyond our wildest dreams. Let's just admit it. That is.
It is.
And he's not one of the cardinals that, because if for a moment, I'm going to be a little bit transparent here.
Yeah, please.
I remember thinking, is it Dolenz?
Oh,
Is it
sure.
McIlroy? Oh my gosh, what if they picked Supich or even DiNardo in Houston? I know him. He retired. Could they have picked a Houston guy? We're going through our heads all the cardinals that we know, because there's not that many. There's not that many. And you're thinking already. Who, for a moment there, I thought this because I saw on the balcony, I saw Supich. I go, okay, whoo, it's not him. Tobin was out there, and then it hit me. What if they pick Dolenz, the Cardinal of New York? He is just a gregarious Irish guy. Is he gonna represent us well? Is he gonna just be? Is he just gonna be the Europeans like? Oh, he's just a loudmouth American. And then
Loudmouth
we have
American.
who? Provost? Who? A canon lawyer, a math guy, a guy who's an Augustinian, which is a something that most people know what Franciscans, Benedictines, and Dominicans are. But the oldest rule in the church is the rule of
Is
Saint
August.
Augustine. He wrote a rule. He didn't start an order, I don't think, but he wrote a rule for his priests. And then later on, it's my understanding, I'm not an expert on the Augustinians, but he didn't start an order. But he wrote a rule for priests and for religious life, and later on, centuries later, men said we want to live this life. And those are the there's only four orders in the church, my understanding. Dominicans, Franciscans,
Dickens.
Benedictines, and Augustinians. Not Jesuits. Jesuits is a religious congregation. They're the biggest religious congregation, but they're not one of the
Not an
ancient
order.
four orders. Because of the ancient four orders, all of them have men and women. They have men and women, religious. Jesuits don't have women. And the Jesuits do have religious brothers, but they're not monastics. Some of these are monastics. They have a specific charism that's very old, worldwide. Now people learn a little bit about Augustinians. And
Be
there, and maybe even God, this will be refreshing. Instead of learning about, Hans Kuhn and Balthasar, people will start maybe have a continuing interest in. Maybe this is a stretch, okay? But Saint Augustine,
yeah.
Saint Augustine, is a man who you could even say he was the first openly sex addict. In his confessions, he openly confesses that he struggled with purity. I mean, what a someone we need now.
Refreshing, yeah.
Refreshing. I remember he made that prayer, Lord, make me chaste, but not today.
Not right now.
I mean, who says that? I mean, you think of a great saint, a starter of an order, a bishop who's able to confess, I struggle with impurity, and even had pornography, for crying out loud. He was a ladies' man. He was a ladies' man.
I heard somebody say a couple days ago, I think it was Father Mitch Pacwa, I could be wrong, but I heard somebody say a couple days ago that he is expecting this renewed interest in Saint Augustine and
Okay.
a little bit of resurgence, which I think this is Tom McNew's opinion, doesn't matter for anything really, but I think that would be absolutely great, especially for the American church, but the church in general.
Yeah.
To find a renewed interest in Saint Augustine.
Because he's written more books than you could read in a lifetime.
Absolutely.
You
So
get the
Father,
complete works of Augustine. Yeah, go ahead.
real quick. So now that we have this new American Pope, let's read some tea leaves here. What's the impact for the Austin Diocese and a shepherd for us here in the
I
diocese?
wish I could speak plainly on that. I wish I
I don't want
could.
to get you
So
in trouble, but I just, you know,
I
I
will
mean,
say this. Here's
timeline.
my tea leaves. You know, with Pope Francis, what I think would have probably happened, although Pope Francis was personal friends with our bishop, and he was personal friends of the Bishop of Brownsville. However, my guess, if the three names that came up for Bishop of Austin, if he would have showed that, the Papal Nuncio showed those three names to Pope Francis, he probably wouldn't have known any of them. And probably said, you know, pick who you recommend, you know, whoever you recommend. But I think whatever names the Papal Nuncio presents to Pope Leo, I think he might know who all of them are. He was in the Dicastery for Bishops, and he's an American. And so he's very close to the Papal Nuncio. He knows the politics and the bishops in the United States. So that's going to be the next fascinating thing for us. How exciting is for us is
Amen.
we're one of the only empty seats in the whole country that I know of.
Right.
And I remember for a while there, we didn't have a pope or a
Or
bishop.
bishop.
And I remember telling my people here, I want a vacation. And so my youth minister said to our deacon, "Hey, deacon, what's it like being in charge?" And he goes, "What? Yeah, we no pope, no bishop, and Father John's gone. You're in charge." And he has like blank stare. Come on, man. And come on, we need to all kind of
That's
pick up
awesome.
the slack around here because we lack a daddy. We lack a daddy.
It's going to be an interesting, interesting time, and I think it's fascinating. As we've watched all this unfold literally right before our eyes, and
And it makes us hesitant to make a prediction because we're always absolutely wrong. I mean, and we're always complete, even the long shots. We're like, what? What? So I have a couple people I think they have a good chance of becoming our bishop. I think a good candidate would be the auxiliary in San Antonio, Gary Yonick. He's close. He's an auxiliary. He could be it. Oh, one of the guys that used to be here from the diocese, Father Mike Sis or
Oh, yeah. I would love for Father Mike, for Bishop Sis to come back out here.
Yeah,
So I think it'd be
and it
great.
could be, but what a history has taught us is you never
Never
know.
know. Yeah. Amen.
You never he could make Father James Misko the bishop.
Yeah.
He could do that.
We're going to have to wrap it up there,
Okay.
folks. Thanks for joining us here again on this episode of What Would Father Say? Father, appreciate your time. And would you leave us with a blessing, please?
Sure, let's invoke the Blessed Trinity. All glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we'll see you next week.
I'll see ya.